The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Glory to God. So the plan you've made for your breakfast tomorrow, please cancel it. I don't know why you call it breakfast, where you did not fast. It's people that have fasted that can break their fast. So if you've not fasted, what are you trying to break? Night fasting. Even some of you that eat by 4 a.m. Glory to God. Amen. But it's going to be an amazing November. The year is coming to an end. And I'm excited. I'm excited about that, okay? I'm excited. Zoe is going to be very supernatural. And I feel it already. Hallelujah. And I will say a few more things by Sunday. Amen. So let's see. What were we teaching on Sunday? Do you remember? Talk to me. What were we teaching on Sunday? Ruda. That was a new word you learned. The power of the tongue. Ruda. And I've explained to you that the word ruda, that is actually a piece of iron you attach to a sheep to control the sheep, to give that sheep direction. And an example of that is the steering of a car. When you attach a steering to a car, it is the steering of the car that gives that car direction. In other words, even if in your heart you want your car to go to Sokoto, it is the steering that you are going to engage, okay, to be able to take your car to Sokoto. If you turn the steering of your car towards Lagos, and in your mind you really want to go to Sokoto, you will end up in Lagos. Because it's not a question of what you want to do. It is a question of where you turned your steering to. And that's what the book of James chapter 3 tells us about the tongue. That the tongue is like that small root that you attach to a sheep. That turns the sheep to wherever, you see, they want the sheep to go to. So I'll read it for you, James and chapter 3. Hallelujah. James chapter 3 and verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. Say, behold also the sheep, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are turned about the very small helm, that's the ruder, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and posteth great things. So even so, tells you, the same way the ruder turns the sheep wherever it wants it to go to, that is the same way the tongue turns your body to wherever you need to be. And so if you've not learned to engage your tongue, you might, you see, have a lot of wishes in your heart, but you will never get there. Because it's not about wishing things. What you wish will not actually happen. Yes. It's not about what you wish. The English people say, wishes were horses. Can you see now? It's not about what you wish. One of the first things you do when you have a wish for where you want to get to is that you begin to talk. In that James chapter 3, if I read it to you with the New Living Translation, and that is verse 3. So we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder in verse 4 makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go. Even though the winds are strong. And I want to emphasize on even though the winds are strong. Because the winds that are in your life are not strong enough if your tongue can steer your life in the right direction. The winds, see, even if the winds are strong, once the pilot chooses that, turns that rudder, it goes that direction. As a matter of fact, if you study sailing very well, you find out that you actually sail against the wind. Even though the winds are strong, once you turn the rudder towards that place, the whole ship will begin to move there. A small rudder makes a good ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. And in verse 5, he said, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. I get to the point. It makes grand speeches. In verse 7, he said, people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish. He said, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless, full of evil. Okay, restless and evil, full of deadly poison. So he's saying the difficult thing on earth is to tame your tongue. And if you can tame your tongue, you can tame your whole body. If you can tame your tongue, you can tame every other thing. And so we're going to look at it on Sunday, how that the tongue is so powerful, and we must learn the power of the tongue. I said a few things to you on Sunday. I told you that, for instance, your tongue will affect your life. Your tongue affects your life in so many ways that we looked at on Sunday. For instance, we looked at the fact that your tongue affects your life in the sense that you will have what you say. And that's a very powerful secret. You're not going to have what you wish. You'll have what you say. It is when you talk that what you want will come to you. And like I emphasized on Sunday, which I will still do today again, I'm not teaching positive confession. I'm not speaking just say good things and sweet things that you like. That's not what I'm teaching. Saying good things that you like will only make you feel good. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you apply what I'm teaching, which is actually putting God's word on your lips and speaking the word of God, you will have the result. Because God's word will work. It's not just going to make you feel good. It's actually going to change the situation. So you will have what you say. You are where you are today because of things you've been saying yesterday. Now, whether you realize that or not, it's another different thing. You are where you are today because of things you said yesterday. Where you are going to next week, okay, is a function of the things that you are going to that you are saying today. Are you still here? So you have what you say. I also showed you on Sunday, for instance, how that God will do what you say. Yeah, look at that. God will do what you say. In Numbers 14, verse 28, God said to the children of Israel, what I heard you say in my ear, that's what I'm going to do. So God will do what you say. And the reason why God does what you say is because God is not a bully. He's not going to force himself on you. He wants to know what you really want to act on it. And don't say, well, can't he just see my heart and see what I want? No, that's not how it works. You say what you want. You speak forth what you desire, then you will have what you say. That's what Mark 11 tells us, verse 23 and 24. He said, if you shall say to this mountain, after all those stories, at the end of the verse, he said, you shall have whatsoever you say. It is what you say that you will have. It is what you say that God will do. It is what you say that angels will act on. In a bad way, it is what you say that demons will act on. I get what I'm saying? So your life, your tongue will affect your entire life. Your words, like I showed you, determine the course of your life. Your words will determine the course of your life. Glory to God. You know, in that James chapter 3, is actually our anchor text for this study. He said, for in many things we offend. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. NLT said, indeed, we all make many mistakes. Watch this. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. So if you can control your tongue, you can control every other aspect of your life. Because actually your tongue that controls every other aspect. It's what I'm saying now. If you can control your tongue, you can control your health. If you can control your tongue, I showed you on Sunday, you can control even your spiritual life. You get the point? One major sign of maturity is that you will be able to tame your tongue. I showed you on Sunday that is what we call the tongue of a disciple. Remember that? The tongue of the learned. In other words, that's the way disciple people talk. I said it again and I'm saying it. When I hear people talk, I can tell whether they've been trained or whether they've not been trained. If I just heard them talk. If I heard them talk in the face of circumstances, if I heard them talk in the face of trouble, if I heard them talk in the face of tribulation, I can tell if they've been trained or if they've missed their classes. We can tell. And that's the thing about training. You can't say, well, I'm trained. You see, if you're trained, you have to provide a proof that you've been trained. That's why you go to big companies today, you want to work there, you give them your certificate. Well, they've seen it. They want to test you. They want to test you to be sure that you've been trained. And that's how it works. One of the things that will test and try whether you've been trained in a sound local church is the use of your tongue. Are you know what I'm saying? The use of your tongue. When you see people who talk carelessly, there are no two ways about it. They have not been trained. They have not been discipled.
No matter whether they go to church every day. So when I hear people say crazy things, or say touch some things, maybe from Sunday and all of that. But there are people that don't know, have control over their tongue. They can say anything. They can call God anything. They can speak carelessly. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I told the person, some events have happened in my life, and I've come to learn. This is not my assignment, I've come to it later. I've come to learn that one major sign that you're a wise person is that when you hear things, before you make your comments on any matter, think again. Think again, think again, and give things time. Because you'll be so shocked to know that someone can come and talk to you about Pastor Izu now and forge a story that, you know, they say in every rumor there's an atom of truth. Like, forge a story where there is no atom of truth. And you start reacting to it. You say, are you serious? It is a sign of spiritual immaturity to think without, to talk without thinking. A wise man always talks or thinks more and talks less. You must think more and talk less. And that's why you think what you want to say through before you start talking. So did you hear that? This person say, are you serious? This is how they are. You've not even verified any information. And that's why people that are close to me will tell you, no matter what you bring to my office, I will verify it. No matter what you say to me, I will verify it. Are you got what I'm saying? Are you got what I'm talking about here now? I will verify it. I say, even if you present proof to me, I will verify it. And I will do everything necessary to verify it. And one of the ways I verify it is to ask the person you are talking about. That's me. I ask the person, what if he lies? Well, if you lie before me, I will know. So I will ask you. Are you got what I'm saying now? You must learn that you are not telling it with your tongue. Do you hear that? Are you serious? That's how they are. These people, you just finish saying. Now, after everything, you now begin to think. What? Have you ever made some statements and later began to rethink the things you said? I began to wonder, was I the one saying those things that I said? And what was happening to me? And that's why one sign of spiritual maturity are the things you say when your emotions are high. Either positively or negatively. I mean, when your emotions are high, maybe you are very excited. You see that King Herod, very foolish king. Ooh, I'm just so happy today. My daughter, ask me for anything I'm going to give you. That's how to know a foolish king. Because he was so excited, he began to say things. There are people, once they're excited, they began to spill. Say stupid things they're not meant to say. You get what I'm saying? Anything you ask. He never imagined that anything could also include John the Baptist's head. He never imagined that anything could also include his own head. Are you what I'm talking about now? Ask me for anything, I'm going to give it to you. Careless talkers. Once they're excited. Some other people, once they're excited, they're around you and they're happy. They can tell you all their secrets. Just make them comfortable, buy meat pie and just say, you know, I love you. Say, you know, I just feel so safe. This is a safe space. And I feel I can tell you anything. That's a foolish girl. And God help you, she doesn't have your secret. Because if she has your secret, once that safe space, fake safe space. I don't blame you. Safe space, I'm drinking Mirinda and eating gala. Safe space, I just feel the safe space. And after you don't hear them, see them on WhatsApp to say, there's nothing good as finding someone that you can say anything to and you don't feel judged. Or God, they've spilled your secret. They've just safe space. Once they're excited, when emotions are high, how you talk and what you say determines whether you're spiritually mature. That same way, when your emotions are down, once you are angry, once you are hurting, once you feel bad, what are the things you say? Are there things that if we replay them, you'll be happy to listen to them? I mean, if you're very angry and we begin to record the things you say when you're angry, will you be happy to hear them 6 months after and be proud of yourself and be like, man, I was doing well right there? Will you? And that's one sign of maturity. And that's something that was happening to you in this meeting before we are done with all this series. You know what I'm saying? So if you can tame your tongue, you can control your entire body. If I can tame your tongue, you know, one of those days, many years ago now, some of the people will remember this story. I used to, you know, I was leading CYF then, as I am still doing that now. But then we used to hold head executive meetings. And one of those days, you know, and of course, I'm not someone you can, if I'm leading you, don't cross my path. I like perfection. If I give, do it perfectly. So around that period, all the leaders were acting anyhow they wanted to act. Some were not even coming for meetings. One of those is they attended, and I was very, very angry. And I came up to preach, and I started shouting. Well, I'm not the type of person that shouts and insults. I don't insult people, so you can't find that in my shout. But I was really very pissed. I was like, what is wrong with all of you? You guys will not come for meetings. We are supposed to be 20 in this meeting. We are just about 10 or 11 here. And even you two, you've not come all the while, and you just came now, and you're bringing commitment. To hell with your money. You think it's money I need here? I was just talking. What I didn't realize was, when I came up, they thought I had started preaching. So they started recording the preaching. You know what I'm saying now? So, I didn't know. So after my shout, I prayed and started preaching. Now, thank God I listened to that conversation, because I later got the message. I listened to it. I didn't say, I didn't insult anybody. But something the Lord pointed out to me, when I listened to that again, the Lord said to me, did you observe that you were not actually shouting at people who are in this program? You are shouting at people who are in the meeting about people who are not in the meeting. You get the point? I was angry that people did not come. And who was I shouting at? The people that came. That marked a turning point for me in my leadership, actually. I listened to that thing. I said, now, wow. People are shouting at them. What did they do? The problem is that they came. Because if they didn't come, they would not hear all these shouts. Glory to God. So that was a turning point for me. I now know that, okay, what you should have done is do your meeting. People that did not come, now you discipline them much after. Why are you shouting at people that came? Because some people did not come. But you know what was happening? I was just angry. I wasn't thinking about anything. I just said, let me get this out of my chest. You guys are not serious. How can I come here? You know that kind of thing. You see, one sign that you are growing is that you could think what you want to say. Think it through. I get the point. Most people that, when they lose someone, they start saying, where is God? God is not real. They don't mean those things they're saying. They are just foolish. And don't think that the crazy things you say are justifiable because you are feeling bad. They are not, sir. They are not. Learn how to bridle your tongue. Learn how to mind the things you say. When you pray and it's like answers are not coming, what are you going to say? We're going to look at this on Sunday. When you pray, when you trusted God, David trusted God for days and fasted and the child later died. What did he say after that? We're going to look at that on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? You don't just, oh, my child has that. It's not something. So after all this prayer, they say, oh, since January, they say this is our year of the Spirit. Nothing spiritual has happened to me this year. In a way, you are careless with talking that way. One of the things is, you're going to be talking like someone that has a very short memory. This is the person that 3 weeks ago was saying, this is my best year so far. 3 weeks after, he's wondering, he's saying, in fact, I want to delete this year from my book. I don't want to remember this year ever happened. Think what you want to say through. If you can control your tongue, you can control your entire body. You can control your life. You can control your finances. I'm going to look at that today. Because I was showing you how your tongue affects your life. Second thing I said on Sunday, that your tongue affects your relationship with people, right? Yes. Because careless use of the tongue has ended many relationships. Many. Either by people who don't know how to keep secrets, or by people who say terrible things to their neighbors and their partners when they're angry, to people who murmur, to people who don't know what to say and what not to say. Many things. Many things. I get what I'm saying now. So you don't be careless with words. Don't be careless with words. Just think what you want to say through. You know, people I have a problem with are people who don't care about people's emotions when they want to talk. Yeah. And I'm just going to tell you how it is in my mind. Sometimes when you want to talk, think about how much impact. Okay? And this is where sometimes some things are better left unsaid. Now, do not lie, but some things are better left unsaid. Because sometimes, and almost all the time, love is better than being right. Do you know what I said? Love is better than being right. You don't look at someone, the person, you know, say, I'm just going to tell him the truth. Somebody has to tell him. Not everything you say. Do you understand? Somebody's head is big. Don't tell the person your head is big. There is no need for that information at that moment. There is no need, actually. See, he has to know the truth. So that what will happen? He can go and do surgery. You think he doesn't know? Some things are better left unsaid. That's the wisdom of God. I know what I'm saying now. Some things are better left unsaid. Love is rather than being right. I get what I'm saying. You know, you're dating a lady or you're courtship with a lady who has a very touchy emotions. And you're saying crazy things to the person. In the name of that, you're just being real. Let me just be real to you. This food you cooked today was not sweet. No, I'll just tell you how it is in my mind. I'm not nothing against you. This food was not sweet. And I think you should go and take some culinary classes. Don't worry. Very soon you'll be the chef. You see, I was just saying it. That's not the time to say it. I've said careless talking has ruined many relationships. You know the Bible tells us, talking about careless talk again, the Bible tells us a soft answer turns away anger. In other words, no matter how the room is heating up, there is something Mr. B will say. That's what will not happen. And I'm going to get all of this. Because some of you, God will use this to preserve your relationships. I feel what I'm saying. No matter how the room is sitting up. Now, a quarrel, a fight does not start because of the action of Mr. A. A fight starts because of the reaction of Mr. B. You know what I said? So if someone calls you a madman, now what you say is what will determine whether there will be a fight or not. It's as simple as that. Like if you look at the person, you say, a madman, you just smile and say, now why are you? It's fine. The appetite for the fight will go. Now I say, but it didn't pay me. Well, that's why you're a mature person. To start with, are you a madman? Huh? So why are you bothered that they call you a madman? And even if you're a madman, fighting the person will not change the fact that you're already a madman. My point is that some things are not necessary. The other point, if you are not ugly and they call you ugly and you fight, it will not change the fact that you are a beautiful person. Now, if you are ugly and they call you ugly and you fight the person, you're still ugly. So at the end of the day, the whole fight is not necessary. If you are broke and someone says you broke guy, now you don't start fighting because, come on, if you are broke, you are broke. And if you are not broke, well, you are not broke to the glory of God. And you are not broke. Yeah, that's the point. So I'm just trying to say, sometimes are not actually necessary. If you learn how to use your tongue properly, you will have learned how to control your entire life, your relationships. Also showed you how your tongue affects your walk with God. And I said on Sunday, we're going to look at all of this in details. So on Sunday, we focused on how your tongue affects your walk with God. We're looking at things like what to do with your tongue. I gave you things like the fact that you should acknowledge the realities you have in Christ. Remember that? Acknowledge your realities in Christ. The things that God has given in Christ. Just learn to say that you're righteous. Learn to say that your sins are forgiven. Amen. Learn to say that you're a child of God. Learn to say that you are blessed. How many of you said good things to yourself this week so far? Constantly. I'm righteous in Christ. My sins are forgiven. Everything God said about me, I say it. And the reason is simply because the communication of your faith will become more effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Those things are already in you. But as you acknowledge them, those things will now become effectual. In other words, you begin to reap better and enjoy the results of your salvation when you begin to say it. Glory to God. And learn to say those things with joy. You get the point? Learn to say, the Bible tells us, with joy shall you draw water from the well of salvation. So how to enjoy the benefit of salvation is with joy. So don't just say, I'm righteous. Say loud, I'm righteous in Christ. My sins are forgiven. Say it, because joy is always loud. Joy is always loud. Silence most times is a sign of depression. With joy shall you draw water. I think that's Isaiah 12 and verse 3. Put it up on the screen.
All right, Isaiah 12 verse 3, check. With joy will you draw water from the well of salvation. Yes, yes, yes. That's King James. With joy will you draw water out of the wells of salvation. So, you see, imagine a well. You see, if this well is called salvation, and you want to drink from it, from that well there is righteousness, there is forgiveness, there is sanctification, there is authority in Christ Jesus. As you begin to draw from that well, you do it with joy. Amen.
So you don't begin to say, oh,
I'm just righteous. Under your breath, looking sad, draw that water with joy.
Rather, I tell you, no matter, I know the thing about the realities in Christ, I didn't say on Sunday, is the fact that this is one thing that can make you stay joyful 24 hours in 7 days. And I tell you why. Because they are unchanging. You can rejoice that you got money today. The money could finish tomorrow. And your joy will go. You can rejoice that you got healed today. Tomorrow you could be sick. But you see, if you are righteous today in Christ, you are still righteous tomorrow in Christ. You are still righteous next year in Christ. Are you what I'm talking about? You are still righteous next 10 years. And so the realities are constant. That's why you can rejoice over them constantly. They can never change. You are forgiven last year. You are still forgiven today. Next 10 years, you will still be forgiven. You are a saint in Christ. You are still a saint in Christ today. So it is something that can give you joy every time. If you understand it and begin to draw from it, no matter how you feel, no matter how empty your account is, no matter how things are going wrong, you can always say, I'm righteous, and you'll be right. Are you following me, everybody? You can say, my sister forgiven at any time, and you'll be right. You can say, I'm a child of God, and you'll be right. You can say, I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers, and you will be right. Every time, even with your account zero, you'll still be right. Is all following me this evening? And so, it's something that can keep you joyful every time. And this is one of the ways I learned how to stay joyful. No matter how things are going wrong in my life, I know the constant realities in my life. Once I turn my focus on those things and focus on this, I'm anointed in Christ Jesus. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. If I put my focus there, all those sadness goes. Those things are constant. You will always be forgiven. I will always be forgiven. I will always be righteous. I will always be God's child. I will always have the nature of God. I will always carry God's DNA inside of me. I will always say I'm a child of God. I will always be righteous. I will always be in the authority of justice. I will always be seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Come on. Far above all principalities and powers. I will always be there. So even if I am at the lowest point of my life, I'm always seated with Christ. Someone is not getting me this evening. Are you what I'm saying? Even if I'm at the lowest, I'm always above. You know, the word born again in the Greek is the word anothen. Anothen, that's A-N-O-T-H-E-N. It means born from above. Born from above. That's why Jesus speaking said, he that is from above is above all. And he's talking about himself and talking about you. You are born from above. So you are above all. Above all principalities and powers. So Jesus, don't put it this way, say, greater is he. Oh, are you following me this evening? Greater is he that is in you. Now, this is a reality that can never, never, never change. No matter how you feel. So it has the power, if you understand it, to keep you joyful every time. Are you following me? I can be lacking money, but I'm not lacking the Holy Ghost. Did you get what I say now? I can be lacking money at the moment, but I'm never lacking the Holy Ghost. I'm never lacking righteousness. I'm never lacking holiness. I'm never lacking the fact that I have the authority of Christ. I'm never lacking the fact that I am blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. Now, I've taught you guys, normalize it. When people ask you, how are you? Don't just say, I'm fine. What do you say? I mean, in your daily conversations. You get the point? Because I'm fine and I'm blessed. I think I'm blessed is better. Because Ephesians 1 verse 3 tells us, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, come on, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So, I'm blessed. You didn't hear me say, I'm blessed. I said, I'm blessed.
Glory to God. So how are you today? How are you today? How are you going to be next month? So nobody should say nobody knows tomorrow. I know how will be tomorrow. How will I be tomorrow? I will be blessed. Who knows what happened in December? Well, I know. I'm blessed. Are you going to I'm talking about here now? Who knows what happened in 2025? Oh, that year, they said that I know that I'll be blessed. Will you ever stop being a boy in 2026? Never. That same way, you can never stop being blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Glory to God. Imagine if your name is blessed. And people say, how are you doing? You say, I'm blessed. But funny enough, that's what God did for Abraham. Gave him a name that carried the weight of the promise he has made to him. Abraham means father of many nations. He named him the promise God has made to him. So every time you ask Abraham, who are you? He will declare God's word. That's why I don't give your children stupid names. Amen. Say, so what's your name? Onyemechi. No, nothing is wrong with the name. I'm just... You can see it. Sorry. My God, nothing wrong with the name. I'm just saying. No, who knows tomorrow? Amen. And that's why I said it before in this church. There are some names that your parents have given you that are quite very prophetic. But because you are a Gen Z, you've turned it as answering rubbish. Amen. Glory to God. If you're called Chinedum, that's a very good name. It simply means God is leading you. But somehow, all these guys don't like all these kind of names. They always have a Gen Z way of coining this name so that... Amen. Glory to God. Ask yourself, what's your name? What's your name? Amen. Answer, what if, can I change my name? Well, my counsel on change of name is very simple. Changing of name is not as important as getting a revelation. Now, if you are to change your name by revelation, there's nothing wrong with that. Yes. Because you can be praying in the spirit and God will light up something in your heart as a name. You can change your name. Nothing wrong with that. You get the point? But it's not just about all these crazy things about changing names and trying to... No. Make sure there's a revelation. But whether it's done or not, know how to refer to yourself. And then more importantly, when you begin to have your kids, know what you call them. All these names of children born in, that were born in 2024. Jaden. I don't know what that name means. Maybe it's a good name. What does it mean? Jaden. You don't even know. But you've planned to name your child. You don't name your child with trends. Don't name your child with trend. Let me tell you, a very simple thing is, when you want to give birth to a child, start praying. Now, God may not give you a name as his name will be Theophilus. No. No, Theophilus is a good name, actually. Very good name. What Theophilus means? He that bears God on his breast. It's a very good name. No, you might not hear Theophilus, but God can tell you something about that child. Do you get the point? He can tell you something. It's not about, it's not sounding sweet. It's not sounding sweet. It's not sounding touche. No. It's not necessary. I get what I'm saying now. So mind what you say. You that they gave good name, you've changed it. The event is coming to my mind. I just don't want to say it because I've been controlling myself since Saturday is missing. Now, put God's word on your lips. I'm blessed with something good you can say with. And imagine you force that into your vocabulary. That every time someone says, how are you doing? That the default thing that comes up is not, I'm fine, I'm blessed. Some people, what comes out is, I'm fine. Some people, their own is worse. How are you doing? I don't even know how I'm doing today. Because they just want to ask you for recharge card money. Because if they say I'm fine, ladies, and I'm talking to ladies actually, specifically now. A guy just asks you, a guy you are just meeting, how are you doing? I say, I don't even know. My gas has finished. That's not how you are doing. That's not how you are doing, sir. They did ask you what finished in your house. They say, well, how are you doing? What do you mean gas has finished?
That why it has a very simple answer, which is, you are blessed. That's what they say, I'm not fine. They will not say what. Guys have learned, say I'm not fine. Say nobody's even fine in this country. So just be fine. Me too. No, brothers should learn. Once you say, how are you doing? I say, I'm not fine. You reply too. Me too, I'm not fine. You start listing your own problem. After you leave, say, ah, let us pray. Now, put something in your daily vocabulary. I learned that from my spiritual father. How are you doing? I'm blessed. Even all the kids, the two kids and the younger one now, that one is not talking yet, but those two kids, those with them, oh, David, how are you doing? I'm blessed. That's the fourth answer, the fourth answer all of them give. How are you doing? I'm blessed. You have to grow up with that. I'm blessed. So I'm not just talking about you having a confession time in your room. Let the word of God get into your daily conversations. I get the point. Daily conversations. Now, those days in school, some of those are spiritual brethren. It's a guy, how far? It's a far above principalities and powers. Glory to God. That's a funny one. It's a how far? Far above. Glory to God. So you say who you are in Christ. The more you say that, okay, the more you receive the ability to walk in them. Amen. And I said that on Sunday, the more you receive the ability to walk in them, speaking who you are in Christ will not change who you are already. But speaking who you are in Christ will make you be able to walk in them. Remember Joshua 1 verse 8, this book of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. So how to make sure that you are able to do all that's in the book of the law is that it shall not depart from your mouth. If it leaves your mouth, you will not be able to do it. How actions form? Actions start from your heart, then get to your tongue before they become action. So you first think things. You think them so much, then you say them. When you now say them, you will do them. That's it, the flow. You might not know where you are doing all this, but you must do all of this before you see those actions come forth. So you see someone who just begins to maybe become promiscuous, for instance. He has been nursing those crazy thoughts in his heart. And he has had one or two of those conversations with one or two with some persons. And eventually he begins to do it and he says things like, I don't even know how I started doing this. No, he knows. He has nursed it for some time, meditated on it, and he has given it a voice at different times. Then eventually he's now acting on it. Is someone following me this evening? So if you say God's word enough, you will do God's word. As you put God's word on your lips, it will make you what it says. Are you still here? Now, the second thing I'm going to, I was talking about how to use your tongue in your personal life. So first of all, I said you use it to speak your realities in Christ. Now I'm going to say you use your tongue to create whatever you want in your life. Okay? You use your tongue to create whatever you want in your life. One of the things you must learn is that when God created us, He also left that His creative ability in us. That His ability to create was left in us. So how did God create the whole world? We saw it on Sunday in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. The Bible said, and God said, let there be light. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 6, and God said. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 9. And God said in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14. And God said in Genesis 1 and verse 20. And God said in Genesis 1 verse 24. And God said in Genesis 1 verse 26. And God said, glory to God. And then in Genesis 1 verse 31. And God saw. So God kept saying until He saw. So you cannot have things in your life unless you learn how to create those things. And how to create those things is with your tongue. With your tongue. So use your tongue to create whatever you want in your life. In Romans 4 and verse 17, we see the character of God. Put it up on the screen. I need that verse on the screen. We see the character of God explained clearly there. One quality that you must learn from God. Romans 4 and verse 17. It says, as it is written, talking about Abraham, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. How does God operate? God calls those things which be not as though they were. And that's actually what God wants to do with your tongue. To use your tongue to call those things which be not as though they were. When nothing is looking like it, use your tongue to call forth those things which be not. So it is actually in God's character. So that's what is that? What are they explaining in this verse? What God did in Genesis 1. He came and saw everywhere dark. He said, let there be light. He saw there was no water. He said, let there be. He called for those things that be not. And I said it before and I'm saying it again. You see, the primary use of the tongue is for creation. The primary use of words is creation. So how did you come about that? Well, in Bible study, there is something we call the law of first mention. And the law of first mention simply tells you that the first time a word was used in the Bible, or the first time an event, you know, a concept appeared in the Bible, shows you and it carries the real purpose of God for that particular thing. For instance, if you look at Satan, the first time Satan appeared in the Bible, he appeared as a serpent in Genesis 3. What did he do there? He deceived Adam and Eve. So in looking at that, you are seeing that the character of Satan is to deceive. Are you what I'm saying? Now, the first time words were said in the Bible, words were spoken to create. And that's Genesis 1 verse 3. Let there be light. So, you see, the primary use of words is not communication. It's creation. It's all following me this evening. The primary use of words is not communication. It is what? Creation. The first thing you do with your words is that you use it to create. And that's why, for many of us, we've used our tongue to do everything but what it was created for. We use it to insult. We use it to gossip. We use it to murmur. We use it to complain. We use it to whine. But yet we've not used it to create. God said, let there be. He called those things which be not as though they were. And I'm living in this reality, I'm telling you. I'm living this reality. I call things from nowhere. I call things from nowhere. Amen. I said amen. Give me an answer of this verse. You live in translation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So NLT of verse 17. It says, that is why the scriptures, okay, that is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I've made you the father of many nations. He said, this happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings death back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. So God creates new things out of nothing. And how he does it is that he speaks. In fact, I like the way Amplified Classic put it. He said, as it is written, I've made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead. Look at this. And speaks of the non-existent that he has foretold and promised as if they had already existed. So you look at your life and your finance is not looking like what it is. You do not speak what the finance is looking like. You call those things that be not as though they were. And they come. And I'm telling you this, and I'm telling you, I've practiced this literally. Literally. I keep sharing this story. When I packed into my house, first time I came down to stay in this town, moved into my house, that's what I'm going to tell young boys, young men and ladies too. You want to get a house? Say, I want to pay for that, but I don't have money to put things there. Go and pay for the house. Pay first. When I moved in, there was nothing in the house. There were no seats. You get the point? No seats, no table, nothing. The only thing I kept was bed because I have to sleep. So I just used money. I bought bed. Then I bought gas and pot. I put it in the kitchen. Some of you visited me that period. You come, I brought plastic seats, kept in the parlor. What was I doing? Every time I come out, I'll speak to everything in the house. In the name of Jesus, I call forth. There'll be a seat here. There'll be a table here. That I arranged every day. He said, why are you guys behaving like that? He called those things that be not. And everything I called forth and more eventually came. Some of them I bought, some I didn't have to buy. Because that's how God creates everything. And he says, he creates non-existent things. Like, I mean, you can begin to speak over your health when the result is showing no way at all. When the result is showing the liver is completely damaged. And you begin to call forth those things that be not. It's all following me this evening. You can begin to speak over your health. When the result is showing, you can't use those eyes again. You begin to call forth those that be not. That is actually what we see God do. Those things that be not. That's what you use your tongue to do. You use your tongue for creation. And not for gossip. That's why you see why it's a problem. People are using their tongue to talk people down. You will still learn by the time we get to where we are going to in this study that your tongue should be can be used to build people up. Because of that word, edify. Edify is the Greek word oikodomio. It means to build up. And it's your tongue used to do it. So the same tongue that should have been used to build people up is used to talk people down. The same tongue that is meant to create your health, they're using it to scatter your health. I know what I'm talking about now. That's why you look at that James 3 that we read. It said that the tongue can set the whole body on fire. The same way it can change a master, just like steering. Steering can drive you to a pleasure park. Steering can drive you to a desert. It's what I'm saying. The same steering of the car. The same steering that can drive you to church. Can drive you to club. Same steering. It's what I'm saying now. The same steering that can drive you to where you get a job. Can drive you to where you get killed. So it's a question of where you turn the steering to. So your tongue should be used to create. Attempt to believe practice what I'm teaching you this evening. Some of you will see the kind of things that will happen in your life. When you just become deliberate about creation, use your tongue to create. I learned this very early in my Christian life. A man preached a message that blessed me, called it the Creator Man. The Creator Man. And the Creator Man is you. If you can use your tongue. Give me Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. Hebrews 11 verse 3. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. It's a true faith. We understand that the walls we are framed by the word of God. So that things which are seen, we are not made of things which do appear. Give me like NLT. Let me translation. By faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. That what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Everything you see on earth here came out from nothing. Oh, someone is not getting me this evening. Everything you see on earth here came from nothing. Trees from nothing. But actually it was not nothing. They came by the word of God. The raw material that created everything you see was the word. That is the same word in your lips. By faith, we understand that the entire universe. Give me message. Message Bible. Oh, glory to God. Message Bible. By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word. What we see created by what we don't see. This entire world was created by things we don't see. Now, if this entire world was made from things we don't see, what makes you think that your finance that is zero cannot be turned to a million by the same principle that put sea where there was no sea? By the same principle that made the heavens stand when there was nothing like heavens? By the same principle that brought forth trees where there was no tree? What makes you think that something cannot turn from 5 naira to 1 million by the same principle? Are you going to say it now? Well, the same principle. What makes you think that your health cannot turn around? That when they say your womb is damaged, what makes you think that that same principle cannot create new wombs for you? Same principle. You still follow me this evening? Same principle. Things you don't see. Go back to King James. Go back to King James. Say the whole world was framed. Was framed. That word framed. Please note this Greek word. Because we use it a lot in our study. That word framed is from the Greek word katatizo. I love this Greek word very well.
In the course of my study, you know, I found out it's been longer I use this word. Katatizo. It's a very important word. It means many things. It means to complete. It means to complete. To complete thoroughly. It also means to repair. It also means to fix. It also means to mend. It also means to prepare. It also means to adjust. Look at all these words I'm giving you. That is what your word can do. Your word can prepare a great future for you. It can fix a damaged future. It can fix a damaged heart. It can fix a damaged account. It can repair what has been damaged. It can mend what has been broken. That is the word katatizo. The whole things you see, we are framed by the word of God. Oh, come on. You can create your future. You can create your studies. You can create your health. You can create your wealth by this same katatizo. To complete thoroughly. To repair. To fix. To mend. To prepare. To adjust. I love to adjust. If it has not entered well, you can adjust it. You can keep adjusting it till it becomes exactly what you want. Do you hear what I say now? It is showing up small, but it's not yet perfect. Keep adjusting it. You know how to adjust things. How many of you use that? Use that that television that has this tuner, right? How many use it? Just tune. Also, how many of you went outside to go and turn pole? Did you turn pole outside? Is it you show? Is it you never show? You keep adjusting. I want to bring that picture to your mind now. If he never show for your life, keep adjusting. And it's by the word of God. Say, is it clear? Say, it's small. He says, just keep adjusting. Because once you position it well, it will show. Use your tongue to keep adjusting. If your studies have not entered yet, keep adjusting. If your finances are still shaking, just keep adjusting. Somehow, once you get it, it will set. Keep adjusting. Tune it some more. Tune it some more. With your words, tune it some more. Sir, I'm just seeing this. It's happening small. Keep tuning it. Katatizo. You keep framing it. You keep repairing it. You keep adjusting it until it aligns what you want it to be. Hi. I get what I'm saying now. So my marriage is looking good. Just that sometimes keep tuning it. I get what I'm saying now. This business is going well. Just that sometimes keep tuning it. Katatizo. Until you've got what you're looking for. Pray for the moment wherever you are. Just pray. I just sense the Holy Ghost saying that. Lift your voice. Pray. Shadalabaraga de Andush. Woo. Keep tuning it. Keep readjusting it. Keep readjusting. Keep adjusting. Keep setting it. Keep fine-tuning it. Keep rewriting the story by the word of God. Pray. We have like 3 minutes. Take it and pray. Shandalaba reka dorata. I wish somebody is praying in this place. Shebelebe rebede lebe rebede shadede labaya. Everything that needs to be adjusted in your life, adjust it now. Everything that needs alignment in your life,
align it now. Everything that needs resetting in your life, reset it now. Everything that needs that adjusting, that adjustment, by the word of God, catechizo. We have 1 more minute. Pray. While that is going on, media, give me this scripture with Passion Translation. Pray, 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 pray. Shada la baraba dala bareka de la ba jonda la ba ronda la baya. Shaga la ba shante la barata. Fix up everything. They are just everything. Reset everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Look at passion. The faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. Everything you see was formed, coordinated by the power of God's words. Look at that last sentence. He spoke and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. So you can speak and the invisible realm will give birth to everything you want to see. Everything you want to see. He spoke and the invisible realm gave birth to everything. I love the word gave birth. Ooh, come on. Gave birth. Everything has the ability to produce something. You didn't hear what I said now. God spoke to the earth produced trees. Everything has the ability to produce something if you can plant the right seed inside. And that seed is the word of God. If you plant it, something will come out. What will come out? What will come out? The invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen today. Everything that needs alignment in your life is aligning already. Is adjusting already. I said it's adjusting already. Have your seat. Woo! So God, that is everything. So you must begin to learn to create what you want. Starting from your health, for instance. Create what you want in your health. And what should you want in your health? You should want, in any area of your life, you should want what God wants there. And begin to create it. 3 John verse 2, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. That is what you should want in your health. That is what you must create. I get what I'm saying now. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 15, he said, the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. Let me read that again. Let me see if you're in church. The Lord will take away from thee all sickness. Amen. That's one thing you should want for yourself. That all sickness is taken away from me. Are you following me, friends? You should want what God wants. In Proverbs 4 and verse 20, he said, my son, attend to my words. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So the word of God can be health to you. If you apply it well, it will be health. No matter how bad the state your health is. No matter how bad. So your health is one area that you must use your tongue to create what you want. In Psalm 107 and verse 20, he sent his word and his word healed them from the diseases. He sent his word and healed them. He sent his word. So if God wants to bring healing to you, he will send his word. And what do you do with his word? You put his word in your tongue and begin to speak his word. And so if you do not know how to engage your tongue in the area of your health, you will struggle in your health. You will struggle. And you better master this, because whether you know it or not, medicine has its limitation. And I'm praying that you don't ever have to encounter where medicine says we are done here. I'm praying. Because if that eventually happens, you will see why you must have learned to live your life by faith. I tell this story all the time. Some of you remember it very well. 2020. Was it 2020 or 2019 or so? 2019. We're having a meeting, Zoe, Christian Retreat Center, behind Parkland. We're having the meeting, and then we're finished. End of the meeting, trying to just say hi to one or two persons, and somebody ran inside the hall, a man, and said, "Ah, where is Pastor? Where is Pastor?" They came and told me, somebody to come. I said, "Who is the person? Who is looking for me?" They said, "He's looking for me. That the wife is at Parkland Hospital." And the doctor called him aside and said, "At this point, medicine has gotten to their end. Nothing else can be done. You just have to watch your wife die. If you know any man of God, please go meet them." I get the point. And at that point, they've been hearing our sound from that Christian Center throughout the weekend. So he traced that sound and came to that hall. But we're done by then. Are you following me? And they just came. I pointed two people, two guys, because I couldn't go there. I said, "Just go there. Don't come back until the woman is fine." They went there, they met vegetable, literally. Gone. They went there, stood their ground. They were praying until, not only did they recover, the man gave them an honorarium. I dashed them money. They said, "Take." Everything was framed by the word of God. What were they expected to do? Just go there and keep speaking God's word over the health. Catatizo. Keep framing it. Keep adding it. Keep fine tuning it. If the liver is dead, wake it up. If the kidney is dead, wake it up. If the heart is no more beating, let it beat again. Just keep readjusting until you get me results. And I was sure they were going to come back with results. I was sure. And they did. I got what I'm saying now. Now, medicine said it's over. That's why you see, over your health, you must learn how to use your words to create the events you want in your health. If not, I don't need to always remind you this, but I need to just say it. Even the devil has his agenda for your life. And if you do not speak God's agenda over your own life, Satan has his own agenda for your life. And his own will set into motion. This whole world was framed by the word of God. So your health. Is not following me at all. Your health is one area you must get the word of God to, and you keep creating what you want. Another aspect, for instance, is your relationship. Your relationships. I mean relationship, marriage, and the rest of them. You must learn to speak God's word over your marriage. Now, whether you are married now or you're married in the future, I'll get to that very shortly. You must learn to speak God's word over your marriage, over your relationships. I get to the point. My spouse is blessed. My wife is blessed. My husband is blessed. If you're in courtship, speak God's word over your relationship. Hey, Lord, speak what you want to see. Not only is the person blessed, this is what you want to see in this marriage. We will not struggle. There will be peace. There will be peace. We're enjoying the peace of God in this home. The peace of God in this home. We will not come into lack. We will not struggle. And extend it to your children. Your children. You know, Isaiah 54 verse 13 tells us your children shall be taught of the Lord. Something you can begin to say over your kids. My children are taught of the Lord. What's that telling us again? Discipleship. My children will be discipled of the Lord. What are you going to say over your kids? Are you following me? What are you going to say? You must learn to use God's word to create what you want in your relationships. You're married and you and your spouse are always fighting. The problem is you're looking for the problem in the wrong place. You think the problem is with your husband or with your wife. And which one of you can see that the problem is not your husband or your wife? The problem is the devil in your home. And then you take God's word and begin to say what you want to see there.
I got what I'm saying now. You stand. So your relationships, your family, your children. Isaiah 54 verse 30. Give me on the screen. Your children shall be taught of the Lord. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. That's one thing you can say over your kids. And this is actually one verse I pray over the exalted kids every time they come to my spirit. This verse. Our children in this church, they shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. Great shall be their peace. That's the word shalom. Great shall it be. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing damaged. Prosperity all around. Great shall be their peace. And so you notice there are scriptures that cover every area of your life. Do you know what that tells you? That tells you that God expects you to speak over every area of your life. Because if there are scriptures that talk about your health, your finance, your marriage, it means God wants you to speak over those things. Don't leave any area of your life to chance. Don't think that somebody are going to marry and your house will be very peaceful suddenly. No, sir. What have you been saying? First of all, in your everyday conversation and then your confession times. That's why you can't be planning to get married and have a great home. And you keep saying, women are devils. Women are devils. You're going to marry one. Now, don't say women. Is going to fall out. You see what I'm saying now? When God brought Eve to Adam, Adam named Eve. And I think that's very prophetic for every man. You are the one that will create your woman with your words. And even your children. You keep telling your wife, this woman is very, very stubborn. You don't ever hear a word. You are very, very stubborn. You don't ever listen. Now, that's, you are creating something. When your creation is done, don't say, I don't know how I got here. I get what I'm saying now. And women too. You keep telling your husband certain things. Say, this man, stingy. You, stingy. Akago. Stingy. You keep doing that. Keep doing that. Let them make us call out stingy. You are creating something. You are forming something. Adam said, she shall be called Eve, but she shall be the mother of all nations. Look at the words Adam used to welcome his bride. Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Gave her a name, gave her an assignment. Mother of many nations. That he knew. Now it's not when first time you see a woman or as you kill you with a woman, keep saying all the kind of nonsense in your mind. Because you're angry. So, I was just pissed. You know, you can express your grievance without labeling people. I don't like how you spoke to me right now. It's different from you don't ever speak to me right. Not the same thing. One, you are addressing an incident. The other one, you are addressing a person's personality. You see what I'm saying now? I don't like this food you cooked. You shouldn't say that anyway. I don't see the point. But some of you that want to hear your opinion. I don't like this food you cooked. It's not the same thing as, do you even know how to cook? It's not the same thing. But I personally think there's no point a man complaining of a woman's food. I don't see the point. Say amen. Say amen. I don't see the point. Why complain about a woman's food? If you've ever cooked, you will know that no matter how perfect you are, cooking is by trial and error. Now, just that as you get perfect, the error will reduce. There is no woman here that will say there has never been a time you cooked and something passed the food. Anybody? If you say you are like that, we're going to do a practice in this church. Pap. Use pap. You're going to make it 5 times. You cannot have the same result. Now, this is just waking up the current reality. How many of you have ever made pap here? You know, there are many things I remember the first time I made in my life. But the first time I tried frying, was it egg or something? Have you planted something? And I didn't know, that. Don't laugh, but I didn't know they used to turn it. They used to, like, you should fry the egg and then you turn it. Why? I thought you just fry it, everything should fry, or you should enter and fry. So I was even making video.
I'm frying. To you life story. I tell my aunt told the other pack was black. That part did not do. Now this is the same man who not married, and I be saying, I don't even know. You don't ever know. We don't talk like that. You know, you see, boldness or confidence is not about being arrogant and being brash and then just saying a lot of crazy things. Because you're actually creating someone. And this is a good time to talk about people that are giving birth to children these days. Know that for the first years of your child, you have the opportunity to create that child. Yes. You say things to the child. Learn to tell your children, you're a hero. You are the best. You are blessed. When they show you small things, one of those days, I was talking with my brother on the phone. And my niece, they just ran into the room from nowhere. Just came in. Daddy, 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 daddy. What? I can spell my name. Spell it. O-L-E-A-E-D-O. Nothing brought about that. And then my brother, I don't like what they said. Ah, you're a superhero. You can spell your name, say you're a superhero. And he told me, he said, that's like the 14th time they're coming in to do that same thing every day. You don't understand? He can just be sleeping and they were rushing. Daddy, daddy, daddy. Okay. I can spell my name. And that's why time said, yeah, this child. He said, blah, 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 blah. I know you can say O-L-A-E-D-O. Now you are creating your child. Now that's why there are sentences that can go on. I was talking to the men earlier this year. Preparing for fatherhood. Remember that teaching? Preparing for fatherhood. There are certain things you do. Your kids will turn out. If you, let me tell this to you. I almost do it like word of knowledge or prophecy. If I talk with anybody three times, I can tell the person the kind of home Yosh is coming from. And I'm always correct. You sometimes you talk to women or talk to ladies, you can simply see that there was a gap. Someone said something to them. That's why teachers in secondary school and primary schools must mind the things they say to students and their pupils. I'm talking about relationships generally. Relationships. Don't create your kids. You enter class and say, this child. So, after everything I taught you, this is what you solved in the board. You can never make it. You don't talk like that. You don't talk like that. Because you are creating. These things are not just, remember your tongue is for creation. You are forming something. And so, it should concern me. It should concern you. Some of you here, if not for the love of God, there are teachers in your presence who have not forgiven you now. Some people, if not that the love of God said, this is important for you today. And sometimes what they do is, when you begin to remind them of that thing they told you, they will never remember it. Because it was just another thing for them. But they will remind them of it for the worse. I get what I'm saying. It was just another work day for them. You know, they just said it and they moved on. So then, I was just pissed. But the child is not the child is a child. That's why, don't be a teacher in secondary school if you don't want to be, or primary school. Do not pour your frustration on your students. You studied engineering, and your father became a teacher. Is it a child? Any small thing, I just say, stop that. That is not the child that became a teacher. You chose to be a teacher. You don't like it. Get out of the place. Because you are angry that your life has spoiled. But you are spoiled on that thing. That's what I'm going to tell the teachers in secondary school, primary schools, universities. Do speak life into the students. Speak life into them. I'm still coming back later. Let your words edify. Let your words strengthen. Let your words encourage. You discipline. But the purpose of discipline is to let your words encourage. Let the children look. But then the two years. Are you what I'm saying?
Is all follow me this evening? Children need it.
Your wife needs it as a man.
You get the point?
When things are not just going as planned, your wife needs it. Your husband planned to have 6 packs. Right? But after some feeding, he doesn't have any pack. 1 pack. Affirmation. That's what I say. Ah.
Okay, super pack. Amen. I started from the men because I'm actually going to the women. Because eventually, your wife begins to grow, she has a baby, her body begins to change. That's the time you have to go out with her the more. And because at that time, you know, all this, what they call that, depression. Postpartum depression. That time, they're feeling so, why am I looking like this? Slim feet like me, look how, that's not the time they're saying. No. You are not fit to be a husband, sir. And you have to change. More affirmation. You are even looking finer. And I know it's time you even look more beautiful. But with or without that, I love you this way. He said, I know you like slim people. Did I tell you that? He said, yes. You said it sometime again. I said it. I did not say it again. You know, my point is there is need for that affirmation. I get what I'm saying now. I think everybody needs that once in a while in their life. Amen. How many of you have ever heard from your leader in this church, or from a minister, or from a pastor, or from me? You are doing so well, and I'm proud of you. Have you ever heard that kind of thing? What it does to you, it shakes you up. And as you keep doing that to people, you are actually creating them. You get the point? You are creating them. Amen. What do you call curses? Curses are things that are given to people through words. That's the same thing a blessing is. Use the same words. So speak God's word over your family, over your relationships. Speak God's word over your finance. Cover your finance with your confession. In Deuteronomy 28 and verse 11. Deuteronomy 28. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 11. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. In the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord swear unto thy fathers to give unto you. He said, he shall make you plenteous in goods. And he's talking about me right there. Amen. In verse 12, he said, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give thee rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. That's my story. And it's not just my story because I'm reading it from the word of God. It's my story because I'm going to say it to myself again and again. I'm lending. I'm not borrowing. The Lord is blessing all the works of my hand. Are you what I'm saying now? Normalize saying those things. It's God's way for your prosperity. I have a full teaching on prosperity summit. If you are still struggling with your finance, go and sit down on those teaching, that teaching. 8 sessions, it will change your life. Lend it to nations, you will not borrow. In Proverbs 10 and verse 22. Oh, hallelujah. Say, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and it added no sorrow. So you can begin to say things like, I am the blessed of the Lord, and it makes me rich, it doesn't bring sorrow with it. It makes me rich. How many remember that we are blessed again? The Bible is saying that blessing is not money. That blessing is not rich. It's not riches. It's not wealth. But it maketh rich. That blessing is a spiritual reality. It's not whether I have 10 million or I have 5 million. It is actually spiritual. But it maketh rich. So it can make you rich. So I'm going to say, I'm blessed of the Lord. Therefore, I will not lack. I'm blessed of the Lord, therefore I will not borrow. I'm blessed of the Lord, therefore I'm precious in goods. I'm blessed of the Lord, therefore my days are getting better and better. My finance is getting better and better. I'm the blessed of the Lord. I said, I'm the blessed of the Lord.
Woo! Do you know, Amplified Classic is very interesting. So the blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich. He adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it. You don't understand? Your struggling will not increase that blessing. You're already blessed. It's not hard work. Of course, there's a blessing for hard work. I've taught on that many times. Please work hard. But at the end of the day, what will make you rich is the blessing of the Lord. Because the Igbos have a saying, "Na waka mumbo, begonri." Now, say you hustle pass, it's chop money. Money for food. That's where you end up. You know what I'm saying? You know it's true, right? Can't see hustlers. That's why everybody that now wants to begin to touch and swim in deeper waters financially, they will begin to involve some spiritual things to their lives. Because they know that it's not just about the toiling. But we don't involve anything spiritual. Because we are actually the spiritual. You don't know what I'm talking about here now. The blessing of God lives in us. So we just look within and pull it up. I'm blessed. I carry the blessing. I carry the blessing. Oh, glory to God. When you hear me say this, like I can never be poor in my life. That's not bragging. That's a fact. And watch me. Even if this is the last year you're going to see me in a long time, when you see me 15 years after, you would have seen that I am a million times richer than now. And when you see that, don't say, how come this guy is rich? Don't be surprised. You should actually be surprised if I'm broke. Because if you see the trajectory of my life, you should have predicted where this guy is going to. He's not about to end small. Job 8 verse 7. Though thy beginning was small, thy latter end shall greatly increase. That's my story. It shall greatly increase. Job 8 verse 7. Though thy beginning was small, thy latter end shall greatly increase. And that doesn't happen by wishing. It's by speaking. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. Oh, glory to God. Keep God's word in your lips. Let these things you are hearing not just excite you. That's not the purpose. Let it give you work to do. I'm just teaching you this, but I practice it. That's my life. That's my life. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound every good work. You know, NLT captures this verse very beautifully. He said, God will generously provide all you need. He said, then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. He's telling my story. Glory to God. I have plenty left over to share. In this lifetime, I'm going to pay the school fees and train over 1,000 children free. Now, I'm not wishing, I'm telling you what is going to happen. I will have plenty left over to share. Bishop Edekwot said he can never be poor again. And even if he chooses to be poor, because through the systems that they've set in place, there are thousands of children who are going to school every day to university level. Some of them have never met Bishop. Bishop has never met them. But their money keeps going to sponsor those guys in school. He said, where he is now, he cannot be poor. But even if he chooses to be poor, those people will not agree. And that's the kind of life we should like to live. 10 years after, you're looking at a child, you know that this one went to university because of me. That's the blessing of the Lord. That's how I live my life. Plenty left over. I get what I'm saying now. Now, I speak over my life all the time. I have all that I need. And I have plenty left over to share with others. Some of you have observed, some of you have started taking your confessions just since last year. You must have noticed a significant change in your finances. Significantly. Keep God's word here. It will change you. It will make you what it says. It brought me to where I'm standing now. Anytime I want to run the project, my wife already knows. Want to do anything, I just say, babe, we're going to pray about this. We'll just pray. I'll start talking. And oh, katatizo, it frames it out of nothing. Sometimes out of nothing. Out of nothing. That's why I do my meetings so. Some of us are leaders in churches and ministers. Every time you drive or you get into a vehicle and pass places like our Zoe venue, point there and say, we are going to fill up this place. I'm going to have a massive meeting. I use my words a lot. There are facilities in Enugu that I've gone to many times and I've entered and said, we are going to use it for a meeting one day. No, it's not once. I do it all the time. Say, one day and not this, so from here. That base is one of them. Also, one told me many years ago, say, that base is very, it's very fine. That's everything, you know. They said it was 1 million then. I say, one day we're going to do a meeting there. You get the point? So it's not coincidence that suddenly we are there. It's what I'm saying now. You say what you want to say. I'm telling you practical things. There are about 5 facilities like that. I actually saw a facility that I built recently in Enugu, and I saw it on Facebook. I said, wow, we are going to do a meeting here very soon. It's another construction. Some of you know that, what I'm saying. That's it. I said, this is so fine. We'll be here very soon to do a program. Oh, come on. And it may sound so stupid, but we're not as stupid as you think. When did you learn to do that? I learned it from a suit. I entered the suit first year. I went into the license auditorium there. It was the school auditorium there. I got in there and they said, nobody ever uses it for program. Only one church. Some of you that went there, you know what I'm saying. They use it for service all the time. And I tell you, God asked question before me, nobody has ever planned the program inside that place. And I went there, I said, we're going to use it for program. And every time I passed there, I said, so we're going to be here. And eventually we were there. Not once, not twice, not 3 times. And I think till now, I've not gone there recently, but I think they still have access to that hall today. And because what faith has brought, it stays open. And that's the thing, anything you crack by faith, it doesn't shut down again. It's awful I'm saying now. Any financial level you crack open by faith, it doesn't go back again. It doesn't relapse. But if you maneuver your way into it, you can lose it. But if it is faith that brought it, it stays. And if it tries to close again, faith will open it again. Because it tells us God is God that opens a door and no man can shut it. So what's your door a kabalata? The door your faith has opened, it cannot be shut. Amen. Glory to God. Ooh, my finance is getting better. I say my finance is getting better. Do you believe that? Let's read this together before you sit down. Deuteronomy 8 verse 17. Deuteronomy 8 verse 17. Ooh. Shemelegedele barondo loboya. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Shamalandia. Ooh. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. So, he said, he was warning them about something. He said, don't come to the point where you begin to say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand
had gotten me this wealth. Verse 18. What did he say? Read with me. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. So who gives the power to make wealth? God. Amen. Do you know the song? Just play it. Hello, peace. Hello, joy. Hello, strength. Hello, it's a new. I meditate my spirit. Hello, peace. Hello, joy. Hello, love. Yes. Hello, strength. Hello, hope. It's a. We're going to sing that song when I'll be closing up. I just said it in my spirit. A new day is coming. A new day is coming. Yeah. A better day is coming. A better day is coming. We shall frame it by the word of God. We shall design it by the word of God. We shall arrange it by the word of God. We will set it by the word of God. Woo. Woo, glory. And so you begin to speak also over your finance. See, look, I'm close now. You must speak over your finance, you must speak over your safety. 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 Glory to God. In Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 20, it tells us, and I will make thee unto those people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee, and to deliver thee, said the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. That's my story. I enjoy safety. You know, I taught you guys this. One of the things that you must begin to trust God to enjoy in your life, again and again, is deliverance. Supernatural deliverance. Because I've said it again and again. What you call long life, anyone that has lived for long has many stories of divine escapes. Ask anybody that is in his 70s or 80s, they'll tell you, there was a time I was sick that I almost died. There was a time there was an accident that I escaped. There was a time they shot but they missed me. They always have those stories. It is the many divine escapes that eventually give us long life. He said, with long life shall I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Salvation there is also, we can use the word deliverance there. So how will he satisfy you with long life? He will show you many deliverances. And so, put it on your tongue that I am kept safe. I'm delivered. Then I will deliver that of the hand of the wicked. And I will redeem that of the hand of the terrible. Psalm 68 verse 19. The Lord is my preservation. Psalm 68 and verse 19. Oh, glory. Say, blessed be the Lord who delivered us with benefits. Even the God of our salvation. Verse 20. Unto our God, his God of salvation, unto the Lord belong the issues from death. Issues from death. Give me a little translation. And King James said, issues from death. NLT. Glory to God. Say, praise the Lord, praise our Savior. For each day he carried us in his arms. Verse 20. He said, our God is the God who saves. The sovereign Lord rescues us from death. So God rescues us from death. Have you ever said that by yourself? I'm rescued from death. That's why if they can carry you into the lion's den and somehow you come out. I've said so much about my safety and I keep saying it all the time. Do you know that this I used to say? You know, I tell my car every time I remember. If you've traveled with me any day, you know. I used to tell my friends that my car doesn't kill people. Doesn't wound anybody. And I believe it with my heart. This guy cannot kill anybody. This guy cannot wound anybody. I say to my car, say,
sometimes somebody can just misbehave along the road, and I'll say, well, you are lucky my car doesn't kill people. That's the truth, because this car cannot kill anybody. Not me, not anybody. And my car knows that it cannot kill anybody. I know what I'm saying. It doesn't even injure people. It's not my car to injure somebody, the car will stop on its own. Say amen. Because I begin to say about myself, I cannot be involved in a crash. If the crash must happen, I will disappear from the airplane. Say, that's what I'm saying. He rescues us from death. He rescues us from death. Because without many divine rescues, you cannot actually live a long life. Because once you are in this world, there are many things that will come against you. Everybody knows that, right? And so if you don't enjoy deliverance and preservations, that's why Jacob said, of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety. I think that's Moses that said that. Of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord. So you can begin to say about yourself, I am the beloved of the Lord. I dwell in safety. There is safety in my borders. We prayed this prayer a lot 2019, December. Leading to today, 2020. And then COVID struck. And there was safety in our borders. And it's how the word of God works. We put it a lot. Remember that year? That just worship center. Every day. Safety in our borders. Of Benjamin, he said, the blood of the Lord shall bless us. I am the blood of the Lord. By the next year. So it's now COVID. People are dying all over the place. But the blood of the Lord. Because the Bible tells me in Ephesians 1 verse 6 that he has made me accepted in the beloved. So whatever is true of the beloved is true of me, because I'm the beloved of the Lord. Don't you understand it now? So I dwell in safety. He said he shall hide thee under his pavilion. Do you imagine that in your mind anytime you are traveling? One of the things you must learn to do as you speak, do not speak words and your heart is disconnected from the words. When you are speaking, put your heart in it. Be imagining what they are saying. I don't know if you practice what I'm saying now. Don't speak words. Just say, I'm blessed. I'm getting my cars. As you're saying, I'm getting my cars. Imagine yourself in the car. Yeah. Many years ago, the Lord said to me, not many years ago, like last 2 years, I was traveling on an airplane, and the Lord said, just look out of the window. And in the eyes of my vision, I saw angelic beings holding under the airplane, real life story, holding it in my spirit, carrying it to where it's supposed to be. And every time I travel, I say, angels are carrying this airplane. And as I'm saying it, I'm seeing that vision I saw in my spirit. Every time. Even as I'm saying it now, it's playing out in my spirit now. Yeah. Because when I talk, my mind is in what I'm saying. You know, you can be talking and your mind is not connected to it. I'm just saying things. I put my heart to it. If I say I'm walking free from this sickness, I'm actually imagining myself dancing on the stage. Free. I imagine that medical report saying nothing is wrong with you. Do you have that imagination in your head today now? And I will always love it to be the same doctor that met me the last time. So he will still be the one to say, are you sure? He said, yes, I'm sure. I know what I'm talking about now. I imagine it. Well, so I'm getting my houses. I actually imagine myself getting my houses. I don't say things I don't mean. Because salvation happens from the heart and then with the mouth. That's how I do my confession. So I mean what I'm saying. So when I'm saying he hides under his pavilion, I see it literally. How I'm about to be hurt and he hides me under his pavilion. And I come out untouched. When I say I can never be stranded, I play it in my head again and again. And I've played it like a million times and I've found that I can really never be stranded. I've imagined being stranded many times. After the whole imagination, I just find out that last, I can never, and I have never been stranded. You don't know why? He makes a way where there seems to be no way. You know what it means? Not where there is no way, where there seems to be no way. Because there's actually a way that we are not seeing it. So how will he make the way? He will open my eyes to see the way. He will grant me sight. He did it for Hagar. Hagar was crying, my child is about that. And the Lord said, just look there. There is a well. Most times we sit beside the well and we are crying because there is no sight. But when the hand of the Lord comes upon you, you will see the well and you will drink of it. So I enjoy many divine escapes. And I'm praying for you. May you have sight. I say, may you have sight. May you see the way of escape. May you see the well by your side. May you see the way of escape. May you see that well by your side. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands. Pray. I enjoy sight by the Spirit. Pray that prayer. This is a prophetic intervention this evening. As I preach, you will pray. I enjoy sight by the Spirit. I enjoy sight by the Spirit. The Lord will open your eyes to see that way of escape. He will show you that way of escape. He will tell you when you are to put out of that deal. It's a way of escape. He will tell you when you are to change your mind. It's a way of escape. So that you will not be duped, you will not be cheated. He will show you a way of escape. And somebody is enjoying that this evening. He will show you where to stop. Many divine escapes. Many divine escapes. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Give me Psalm 27 on the screen with the New Living Translation. You're going to read it prophetically over your life. Psalm 27. Everybody's going to read it prophetically. That's how to declare the word of God. And it's about your safety. Are you ready? Are we good to go? Are we good to go? Now, like you're not reading, actually, you're declaring. So let's take it that way. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple. For He will conceal me there when trouble comes. He will hide me in His sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At His sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord. Glory to God. That's my story. Did you see that part? He said He will keep you out of reach. My God. Some things, I'm out of reach. Accidents, I'm out of reach. Robbery attacks, I'm out of reach. Sicknesses, I'm out of reach. Kidnapping attacks, I'm out of reach. That's my story. And you better begin to speak about your safety, because the devil will come, but there is no fear. I said 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 there is no fear. There are some of you that have been terrorized in your dreams. Dangerous dreams that have kept you afraid. And I'm speaking over you, those things will not happen. Hear me. If I be a man of God, as I know I am, those dreams will not happen. Whatever be the thing that wants to project into your life by those dreams, I reverse them now.
I reverse them now. I reverse them now. In the name of Jesus. No threats. Hallelujah. So speak over your life. Speak over your safety. Please keep standing so that I can just close from here. Speak over your safety. And the whole lot of things to say. Use your words to speak over your future. God said I should talk about this one, even if there is no time. Speak over your future. And I'm going to come to that very shortly before we close. Speak over your future. Your future. Your future. Don't ever allow your future to just come. Let me say this to you. Que sera ou non sera. See what I said? What did I say? What it means is what will not be. It is what you create that will be. That's what I'm saying now. What you create is what will be. What will be will not be. What will be is a very lazy statement to make. Okay, and hustle is here, I beg. Whether we hustle or not, what will be is a lie. What will be will not be. For instance, if you don't go to school, you will not be a doctor. What will be cannot be. You have to do something for what you want to be to be. Que sera will not sera. My God. That is mixing. That's Latin and English, Abi. What will sera will not sera. What will not be. If you want que sera to sera, then create what you want to sera. Yeah, things don't just happen. You have a whole lot ahead of you. Your future is too big. Life is a marathon. Create what you want to see in your tomorrow. Don't stumble into tomorrow. Don't stumble into next year. That's why when the year comes to an end, I'll begin to call all those our crazy prayer meetings. Be around. End of this, beginning of this year, be around. Because that's actually how we do it. I shape my future. I've shaped the next 5 years. I'll keep shaping. I keep shaping it. I get what I'm saying. I keep saying what I want to see in the next 10 years, the next 20 years. When we ask you how your 20 years look like, you should have an answer. And it's not about wishful thinking, it's about what you've spoken into that place. Glory to God. What will I be doing in the next 10 years or 15 years of my life? I know. Pastoring platform of grace across the nations of the world, traveling and being a blessing to many, tens of thousands of disciples, multitude yet sound all over the place, blessing much more ministries, having a beautiful family with the number of kids that I want, growing in the fear of the Lord, having buildings in different places, lands and houses in different places, training so many people in school. I would have gifted, by 10 years I would have gifted at least 200 cars to many. Life moving on so well, and that's not wishful thinking. It's in my words. It will be my tomorrow. If it is in my words today, it will be my life tomorrow. If it is in my words today, it will be my life tomorrow. Because everything you see was created out of nothing. Speak about your future. You know, when you begin to speak God's word, one of the things that you do in your life is, what it does to your life is that it averts the negative words that the devil has spoken to you, has spoken about you. How many of you remember Isaiah? Is it Isaiah chapter 55? What is that scripture that says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper? Isaiah 55:17. If you did warfare, you use that prayer very well. That verse. Isaiah 55:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Abi? And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment. What did he say? He didn't say it shall be condemned. He said thou shall condemn. So when tongue rises, you condemn the tongue with your own tongue. The answer to words is words. The answer to thoughts is words. Think of what I said. When people say you shall not make it, it's your words that is needed. And I learned that one of those days practically from my dad. Somebody came to my house and they were having, I don't know the issues they were having, a relative. And the person just blotted out. From nowhere. You know, there's some words that are witchcraft that you shouldn't let fly. Brother from nowhere, I said, don't worry, you shall see in this life, your children will come to beg my children for food. My dad stood up. I said, never in this life will my children beg anyone for food. That night, it was hot in the house. They brought down everywhere. And my dad said, don't ever. Don't ever. Don't ever.
And thank God somebody fought those words that day. That things that people just project into your life. You don't say, God forbid. I say it's not God forbid. Not in this life. I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. No, his seed beg bread. So how can you say my children will beg bread from you? Now you don't try that with me. Now I remember I was young. I didn't even understand what was happening that day. But recently I remember that incident. I remember, I said, wow. Because he stood up. I can't remember him hitting his hand on the table and standing up. I said, never will my kids beg bread from anybody. And once I said, you shall see, I said, you will see. And that sees. I don't want to complete the story. That's it. When people project things towards you, you have your whip on. You don't need to go and bring seven candles. It's here. Your tongue is your router. Channel it to the right place. Don't tell me they're saying, see what they're saying to me. It's not fair. It's not fault. It's not fair. If it is someone bigger than you that has said something, I cannot refer the person like very well there. You can just say simple as, sorry, sir, without respect, that's not true. But when you leave that place, don't let it slide you. Lock your door and fight those words. Because whether that person means them or not, the words have gone forth. Whether he knows what he was saying or not, they have said it. I will not beg for bread. Say, you shall see. Let's see where you will end. You will see where we end, though. You will see it. I'm no longer afraid. What we call curses that has worked in people's life are wars they didn't fight. Shall I say it again? They are wars that they didn't fight. I've said so much and I say so much about myself that I kind of see it clear in the spirit that when you want to speak a negative word to me, it bounces. Do you understand? I've said so much. So if you want to speak a negative word, it's like something is repelling it, and that's how it should be. If you speak it, you'll bounce. Because those words surround me as though there's a fence around me. I've armed myself with so much words of safety, words of prosperity. So when you come and say, this guy shall be poor, it's coming. You think this is one word you spoke. It's meeting about 1,000 words that have gone like 10 years before it came. Just stop back and return to you and say, sir, no way there. That guy cannot be broke. Because words have been spoken. Spiritual laws have gone into motion. Which at this time cannot be reversed. Can't be reversed. At this time. At this time, it cannot be reversed. So speak God's word. Are you blessed? So take down this very quickly. When you speak God's word over your life, it does three things. First, it fights off, it gives you a positivity mindset or a possibility mindset in that area. If you keep speaking God's word over your health, the first thing it does to you is that it gives you a possibility mindset around your health. If you keep speaking God's word over your finances, you begin to see that things that you thought were impossible are suddenly possible. That's how it works. So you begin to speak God's word over your studies over and over again. That thing that you felt, you can never make 2 from this department, you suddenly begin to see that it is possible. All that, you can never graduate with this. Now, when you speak God's word, because the secret is when you speak God's word a lot, you're hearing what you are saying. So you're also hearing those things you are saying to yourself. So it's also entering back into your mind. So it comes from your heart, comes from your mouth, your ear picks it back to your heart. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So it gives you a possibility mindset in that area. It fights off negativity. Positivity mindset gives you negative. All this, I don't know how my marriage be. All these marriages are crumbling. See what you do. Begin to speak over your marriage if it comes. Speak over it so much. Now, you begin to develop a possibility mindset towards marriage. So when you speak the word of God over any area of your life, it changes your mindset towards that. Number two, it releases the power of God to work on that situation. So you begin to speak over your health, the power of God begins to work on your health. When you begin to speak over your deliverance, the power of God begins to work for your safety. When you begin to speak over your future, the power of God begins to create your future. When you begin to speak over your finance, that's how it works. That's why Mark 11 tells us verse 23. If you shall say to this mountain, be thou lifted and be thou placed, they say they shall obey you, shall have what you say. Because when you begin to speak, God's power begins to work, okay, in that direction, on that situation. See, if thou shalt still serve us and say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he has said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. So if you begin to speak to the mountain, the power of God begins to act on the mountain. If you begin to speak to your health, the power of God begins to act on your health. And again, I dare say, when you begin to speak over a situation, angels begin to walk on that situation. Very important too. I've explained that many times. Angels begin to walk on the situation. The angel said to Daniel in Daniel chapter 10, verse 11, he said, I have come for your words. So how do you speak the word of God over your life? Number one, find scriptures that cover your case. Find scriptures that cover your case. That's why I gave you scriptures for everything I've taught you today. Find scriptures that cover your case. I learned this statement exactly this way from Brother Hagin. Find scriptures that cover your case. When there's a situation at hand, when there's an area of your life you want to face, get scriptures. What did the Bible say about your health? What did the Bible say about your finance? Don't just speak empty words or wishful thinking. Find scriptures that cover that particular area of your life. Is someone following me this evening? Find scriptures that cover your success. Find scriptures that cover all those areas. And they begin to speak them. Secondly, get God's word over the situation in prayer. Now, of course, there is the general will of God found in the word of God. But it's also good that you pray the situation and you get a word from God. A word from God. You know, the Bible tells us in that Hebrews 11 verse 3 that this entire world was framed by the word of God. That the word in that verse, word, is the word rhema. So it's always good to get that rhema word. That word can just be praying over your health, and then you just get a word that says, you know what, this is going to be fine. You know, whatever, just begin to war with that word. This one I mentioned is so important, especially if you are dealing with a situation at hand. You know, there are times you are confessing and there's nothing you are dealing with. You are just speaking. So what do you do in that case? Speak with scriptures. Are you what I'm saying now? I mean, there is no challenge in your health, but you just want to be speaking over your health. Get scriptures and be declaring. But when there's a situation, maybe a health challenge, get to prayer, and as you pray, God is going to drop your word in your spirit and begin to walk with that. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Number one now. Number three, speak ahead of time. And this is very important. Do not always wait for situations to come before you begin to speak. Don't wait for your money to finish before you begin to declare your money will not finish. Keep speaking. Now, don't wait for a problem to come. The wisdom of God is that God's word should be spoken ahead of time. I always give you this example, Matthew 28 and verse 5. When the women came to the tomb to look for Jesus, the angels saw them, Matthew 28 and verse 5. The angels saw them at the tomb and asked them, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. In verse 6, he said to them, he is not here, for he is risen as he said. It wasn't when they wanted to kill Jesus that just began to say, I will rise. He has been saying that he rises. So when he died, the angel said he has risen as he said. So if you learn to speak ahead, in 5 years' time, people are going to look at it and say, ah, this guy is now rich, as he said. Oh, he has 18 children, as he said. Because eventually it's what you said that you have. But speak ahead. Are you getting the point now? They are now a blessing to everyone, as they keep saying. Oh, after how many years they've been able to raise their people who have knowledge of the word, who fluent of the spirit, who are committed to ministry, as they've been saying. So you come in here like 8 years or 10 years after or 50 years after, and you see everybody solid, growing spiritually, doing well, multitude everywhere. Now, what are you going to say? Ah, I remember those days there. Papa was saying all these things. That's how it works. Now your friends should meet you in 50 years' time and look at you and say, ah. So this is you are yearning those days. So it's eventually happening. Say yes, it's happening. I get what I'm saying. Now somebody begins to say from his first year in school, when I'm done with school, I'm going to start working in an oil company. Yeah, you think oil company work is like that? Yeah, forget it. He keeps saying it. After like 8 years, you meet him after school and say, ah, where do you work now? I said, I told you guys, I'm working in an oil company as I said. Speak ahead. It's one follow I'm saying now. Speak ahead. I'll be a blessing to my world in no distant time, as I said. As I said. Speak ahead of time. I, you know, there are things that happened in my life that when it was time for that thing to start happening, I didn't have enough time to begin to confess God's word as often as I wanted over the situation, but things were just flowing. And after that, the Lord said to me, you've been saying this thing a long time ago.
as I said. I get what I'm saying now. As I said. Speak ahead. Two more things. As you're speaking, please do not consider the situation. When there's a situation, do not consider it. Speak in spite of the situation. I mean, if you're speaking over something and the person eventually dies, don't consider the situation. Romans 4 and verse 18, talking about our father, Father Abraham. He said, be not weak in faith. Okay, verse 18 says, who against hope? You know, I love this verse a lot. It reminds me of that beautiful day that our building collapsed at Abani, our Bacha, at Abani. But this was the verse I was preaching from that day. Who against hope believed in hope? That he might become the father of many nations. Do you know what is against hope? Pull up like NLT. Who against hope believed in hope? NLT said, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hope. I mean, when you get to a point where there is no reason, do not be looking at how things are. And speaking of all my finance, and my landlord just came to knock for me and tell me, you have 1 more week to pack out of this place. Who against hope believed in hope? I follow me, friends. I'm speaking about my health. Oh, I'm getting better. And then I go for the medical check and they say, it's not only that one of your liver is two, Abby. Liver is one. Kidney is two. Gelatin is two. Lungs two. Amen. You're praying over your lungs. And then one is bad. Your pain is repaired. You now go to the hospital and they check you and say, the other one is remaining 30%. I say, who are against hope? Believe in hope. You don't speak because things are working. You speak because you know things will eventually work. You don't speak because things are working. So why I say this? This is working. I don't need to see it work. Even I don't see it, I know it's working. A new day is here. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept up. Give me another translation, Amplified or any of them. Quickly. For Abraham, human reason for hope being God, hoped in the faith that he should become the father of many children. He said, human reason for hope. There was no reason to keep hoping in the natural. Do you understand? In the Message Bible. No reason. Message Bible. Glory to God. He said, when everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. Deciding to leave, not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but of what God said he would do. That is faith. You don't check, I'm praying, nothing is working. Nah, you keep speaking because God has said that things will work. Go back to King James. Give me the next verse. Verse 19 now. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. The Bible didn't say his body did not die. He said he didn't consider it. You know what I'm saying? When he was about 100 years, neither yet the tenants of Sarah's womb. He didn't say Sarah's womb did not die. He said he didn't consider it. Because if he was at 90, the womb would have been dead. But Abraham didn't consider it. I don't know how strong a man at 100 could be to still perform and get a woman pregnant. Not only did Abraham get Sarah pregnant, Abraham married again after Sarah had died and had many other children. He wasn't checking, a man at 100, a woman at 90. What can happen? You don't consider whatever is happening around you. I don't speak what things are working. I speak no matter what is happening. Even if you're speaking and the wind is blowing and the sea is about to capsize, just keep saying what I'm saying. The ship is about to capsize. Keep talking. In spite of the situation, give me an answer of this verse. Be not weak in faith. Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. But his faith did not weaken. He didn't say, how can God be saying this? Whereas this, it doesn't matter. Be not weak in faith. Now, verse 20 now said he was strong in faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but but was strong in faith. Kimmy King James, come on now. You guys forget yourself. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory. So what does Abraham do with his tongue? Giving glory to God. You speak in spite of whatever. You speak. When you've just finished drinking Gary, not only did you drink Gary, that was your last Gary. You know, when Gary finishes, all hope is gone. Gary is always the last. But when Gary is gone, and there's no other hope, you stagger not at the promise of God. Go get your notes and look at it again. I'm getting my houses. I'm getting my lands. I'm getting my buildings. I'm getting my equipment. Everything I need to do the will of God and to enjoy life on a high level after a godly soul and for a goodness. All my bills and debts are being reduced and eliminated. I claim extra coming in and I am paying everything off very quickly. So all this bringing me into the best of my life. Don't stop. He's bringing into my hands seeds, even some bread, bread, whooper chunk seeds. I receive them and I sow them with the sorrows of the rest. And I see great harvest. Glory! And when people go to the pastor, he said, ah, this is what you do. Like he just got away. In the land of Israel. You go to the land, they show you that as a man, your eye is better than 20%. But the other day, 6 months, you talk about the world, you come back. Reading, you can't still read. We don't speak because things are changing. We speak because things will eventually change. If you stay on the word of God, it will not fail. Hallelujah. What are you doing with all those words? Katatizo. You're framing. You're framing. You're framing. You are rearranging. Ooh, you know that song? Changing everything. You keep changing everything. You can change everything. You can switch everything. Woo! The last thing I'm going to say today is be insistent until you see the will of God. Remember the statement I made 2020? If it is not God's will, it's not good enough for me. It's not good enough for me. Now don't manage it. If having one eye is not the will of God, I won't manage it. If having one good kidney is not good enough, it's not the will of God, it's not good enough for me. I get what I'm saying now. If barely surviving is not God's will, it's not good enough for me. Stand on God's word and keep speaking. Your tongue must be working. This is the rudder of your life. It will drive you to places. This is a good month to get that our book, 50 days of declaring God's word. Go to the site and get it. It's free. And every day one, you know, one of these I tell people, when I declare those things, I don't just say them once and let them go. Sometimes I speak one day like 3 times. I say it again until it drops into my spirit. Sometimes I dictate like 7 times. I'm not joking. Every day. I'm fixing. Sir, why do you keep repeating this? Is it not working? It's working. But as I'm saying it, I'm hearing it. And my mind is getting informed that this is what we are going to have, whether we like it or not. It's getting better. Do you believe? This is, you know, so now you see the Bible. This I'm going to say to you almost is, your destiny is in your hands. Actually, everybody. Everybody, what has happened to you? And I heard this by the Holy Ghost. What has happened to you is your past. It's time to go forward. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I got that again. What has happened to you is your past. The relationships you've lost is your past. The money you've lost is your past.
The people you've lost is your past. The business that failed is your past. It's time to go forward. Have you ever imagined someone driving a car and instead of looking at the windscreen, he's looking at the rear view mirror? Just focus on that. You know rear view mirror? What do you guys call it again? Rear view mirror. Rear view. Okay, maybe your side mirror or something. You're just looking at it. And yeah, you are going to crash. You can't keep moving forward by looking back. Stop looking at your past. Stop looking at what failed. Stop looking at what did not work. Start speaking forward. Stop speaking backwards. Because every time you complain, you are speaking backwards. Because what is complaining? You are talking about what happened yesterday, what happened last week that you didn't like. Every time you murmur, you are speaking backwards. You are speaking about what you don't like. You are speaking backwards. And every time you speak faith, you are speaking forward. So speak forward. Don't speak about who left. Speak about who is coming. Stop complaining about the guys that left. Speak about the guy that is coming. That man of God is bringing your way. Spiritually anointed, full of the Holy Ghost and dollars. Oh my God. Are you getting what I'm talking about now? So instead of saying, you know, today makes it exactly 13 years that Augustine left me. You're still speaking backwards. You're still driving backwards. Speak forward. By this time next year, I'll be well married. Not a caricature marriage. I had my spiritual parents say this many years ago, and I started saying it. They said, we told ourselves we will not have a caricature marriage. I started saying, I will not have a caricature. You know there's caricature marriage. You know there's caricature marriage. And I kept saying, I will not have a caricature marriage. I cannot have a caricature marriage. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. No. Marriage people point and say, is that one it? And I saw somebody, and I've heard this many times, I've not seen anybody die for marrying late. But I've seen people die for marrying wrong. Don't you understand it now? You will not die for marrying late. But you can die for marrying wrongly. So it's not that we say, oh, Augustine left me. Augustine would have killed you. That's why he left. I get what I'm saying now. He says, what I'm actually trying to say is that it was my fault. Augustine was good to me. I lost him. Well, maybe you would have killed him. End point is, the past has gone with the past. Can we look forward now? Speak about what is coming. Say, do you know, sir, I used to have a big shop. And I made some mistakes. And everything left. I made a bad investment. I lost everything. You are still speaking backwards. Complaining is speaking backwards. Speak forward. Can you look ahead? Close your eyes and look ahead. Literally, close your eyes and look ahead. Just do that. You have 3 minutes to do that. Sing this song for me. You don't have to worry. Just close your eyes and do what I said. While that song is being ministered, that's what I tell the spirit.
To be afraid. Joy comes in the morning. Troubles may they last for long, but there is a friend in Jesus who would wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hand. With Jesus I can make it. With Jesus I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your
hands. The things in your imagination, lift your voice. I have 3 minutes for you. Speak forth what you've seen in your imagination. Don't just speak in tongues for too long. Speak forth the things you've seen. Speak forth the things you've seen in your studies. Think about the future you've seen. The family you've seen. The family you've seen. The career path you've seen. What joy it brings to my heart. Those things God has put in your spirit that came forth as imagination.
With Jesus I can make it. With Jesus I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in.
With Jesus I can make it. With Jesus I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands.
I don't care who you lost in your life. I'm talking to someone that you lost someone. That is not at the car, but I just got up by the Holy Ghost. Stop saying the light of our family was plucked out when that person died. Stop saying that. Stop saying he was the hope of our family. Nobody is hope of your family. The Lord is the hope of my life. Stop talking like that. Stop talking like that. Stop talking like that.
He's hope of my life. Hello peace, hello joy, hello strength, hello joy, it's a new horizon.
Sing it.
So hello peace, hello joy, hello love. And hello strength, hello hope, it's a new horizon. Woo. And hello peace, hello joy, hello love. And hello strength, hello hope, it's a new horizon.
That's not that. Just keep touching that part. Just keep touching it.
And hello peace, hello joy, hello love, oh. And hello strength, hello hope, it's a new horizon. Hello peace, hello joy, hello love. Hello strength, hello hope, it's a new horizon.
Listen, in this your new season, these things will welcome you. Joy, peace, strength, hope, peace, love. That's what is in your new season. Put them here. What do you want to see for Zoe now? Put it on your mouth. From now till that day. Are you what I'm saying now? Keep saying, how I'm going to minister to you powerfully now. I'm already creating it ahead of Zoe. Are you what I'm saying? There are sessions I will teach to a point in Zoe. Some of you will not be able to stand. Some people under your seats vibrate. I'll still be teaching. I've created it. I'm still creating. I'm arranging it. That it will happen to you. I tell you, don't bother. It must happen to you. I'm setting it. It's how we do these things. So you come into your house, nothing is there. Catatizo. I send you to go and plant a new church. You come into the hall, everywhere is empty. Catatizo. Begin to create the human beings and bring them in. I get what I'm saying. You open your bank account, it's smiling back at you. Catatizo. Look at your results. It's going somehow. The exam is coming. You've looked at your test. You've looked at your assignment. You've looked at whatever. It's looking like this step. Katatiso. Your words can go. It can do things you never expected. Don't you know they can say, oh, this test that we wrote, we're not going to use it again. And it will not be coincidence. It will be your words forming them. They're doing downsizing in your company. They want to sack everybody that is under 25. And you are 28. That's what I begin to say. Oh, well, I start looking for a new job. Well, if you want a new job, it's fine. But if you want to remain there, katatizo. You say, what can happen? I don't know. They can sack everybody and leave you. And they can shift up the age. Say, from now, it's now below 29. And you stay. Rules can change for you. But they don't happen suddenly. We create them. We create them. So the next time you hear, let us make mine our own image, also put in your mind that part of it is let them be able to create the way we created. So God created everything and told Adam, name the animals. How do you name animals? What language was he using? I'll come to that one of these days. Was he actually giving them literal names? No, sir. He was saying something to them. But the time comes, we're going to look at it. So in other words, whatever interaction Adam was having with animals was his words. Name them. Call them something. The same way he, if what, sir, what name did he give them? That was the same way he named Eve when Eve came. She shall be the mother of many nations. He gave them where to stand and what to do. He formed something in them. That's the way you form things. You form finances. You form life. Things are getting better. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Yes, you can laugh. You force that one out. Now laugh for it. Laugh for real. Hallelujah. Let's minister this song, then we'll close. Let's minister this song. There's an overflow. We're going to sing that song. There's an overflow.
There is an overflow.
Come on. Yes.
Abundance of favor. It's a new level.
You are singing it to yourself now. Come on.
It's a new level. There's an overflow. I'm going to say
God. Just be hyped up by this message. Make a practice of it, and it will change your life. Are you getting me? Don't just be hyped up. Don't just be excited. Make a practice of it, and it will change your life. Amen. Let's have our seat. Hallelujah. Amen. November is for favors. Supernatural favors. People giving you things you didn't ask for. Doors opening by themselves. Where you didn't beg them to open. That's what November is for. The favor of God causing people to favor you. Remember I told you January? This year, the Lord told us to enjoy leverages by the Spirit. One of those leverages the Lord emphasized for us, if you remember very well, on 31st of December, was the leverage of divine favor. And it's happening this month. And by the way, prepare for 31st of December this year. It's going to be very massive in this place. Are you excited about that? Have you attended enough our 31st crossover nights? You really cross over. So guess it. Amen. We're going to be blessed by sight. We will see what is coming. Amen. I said amen. Okay, welcome you to church. If it's the first time of joining us, we love you. We celebrate you. We thank you for coming. Our vision here in the platform of God's grace is to raise a people who have knowledge of God's word, who flow in the things of the Spirit, and who are committed to ministry. We just want to make you a serious human being. Okay, scratch that. A serious believer. A serious Christian.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.